Welcome to the Birthful Podcast. I'm Adriana Lozada, and today's story is with Victoria Wilson. After giving birth twice before, Victoria thought she had life with a newborn pretty much figured out. But when her third daughter was born crying and frustrated, the thought running through Victoria's mind was that something was off with this baby. What followed were weeks searching for that elusive one thing that would make everything better, and not necessarily wanting to hear that maybe this is just who she was. Did things ever improve? Stay tuned to find out. This episode of Birthful is brought to you by Simply Breastfeeding, a prenatal breastfeeding course to help nursing parents feel confident with their newborns. Learn more at birthful.com/simplybreastfeeding and use the code BIRTHFUL for 15% off. This episode of Birthful is also brought to you by Expectful, an evidence-based guided meditation app created specifically for those trying to conceive pregnant or new moms. Learn more and sign up for a free one-month trial at expectful.com/birthful. The Birthful Podcast, talking to maternity pros and new parents to inform your intuition. Hello, mighty parents and parents-to-be. Thank you, as always, for all the love you give the show, for sharing the episodes you like on Instagram, for telling your pregnant friends and even random people you meet in the street, at the store, wherever, basically for helping me spread the word. I truly, really appreciate it. And if what you hear is helpful, then make sure you subscribe so you don't miss a thing. There are several ways you can support this podcast and help keep it going. So let me tell you about that. One is by supporting its sponsors, which in this week's case are Expectful and Simply Breastfeeding. Another way is by becoming an official Birthful Patreon and joining the Birthful community at patreon.com/birthful. Not only will I be ever grateful for your support, but you'll also have access to extra audio content for the episodes. And for example, for today's episode, you get more about Victoria and I talking about her baby's personality and why things changed so radically when she was able to get mobile, as well as how that ability to move can provide different babies with polar opposite needs, because Annika kind of had the similar situation, but for her it meant different things. So go check that out at patreon.com/birthful. Become a member. Join us. And the third way to support this podcast is even more of a win-win. When you sign up for my Thrive with Your Newborn online postpartum preparation classes, which not only allows you to support what I do, but also helps get you postpartum ready. You want to start the class during the last months of pregnancy, so around that 30-week mark. And even though the class is structured to be done over several weeks, you do get instant lifetime access to all of it. So you can go back and easily review the material once your baby arrives, take it at your own pace. You get it all. The course goes deep into how to understand babies in general, but also how to figure out the baby you got, which is, you know, where Victoria got all this, where it all started, of trying to figure out the baby you got. The course also has a lot to say about how to honor your recovery so you stop depleting and start replenishing yourself, as well as figuring out this new identity as a parent. Go check it out and sign up at birthfulcourses.com. All right. So Victoria has become a dear friend over the years. We first connected ages ago when she wanted to share her first two birth stories back in 2016. This was when I only used to do birth stories during the summer, and hers was the first birth story episode for that year, for 2016. I'll make sure to link it on the show notes so you can also check out her beautiful birth photos as well. So fast forward, and Victoria is back to tell us about her most recent postpartum story that definitely threw her for a loop, requiring her not so willingly to shift her attitude from one of resistance to surrender. And man, can I ever identify with that? Because who really does that without some resistance, right? Let's be honest. All right, let's get to it. Here we go. Welcome, Victoria. It is so great to have you here on the show again.
Thank you. Yes, I'm really excited to be back, and it's fun to have a reason to be back.
Yeah, because since we last talked, your family has grown.
Yes, we have. We've added our new surprise third baby, and it's been super fun.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
And so, yeah, and she has prompted a return to the show to do a postpartum story because
yes,
she's given you a run for your money.
Yes, she really has. It's been good to kind of learn about the baby that we have, not the baby that we thought we would have.
That is so, like, yes, that's everything right there.
Yes,
Yeah.
yes.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. So before we start getting more into her story, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, well, of course, my name is Victoria. I am married to Ben. He is just a wonderful husband and partner, like in raising the kids, everything. And we have three girls, 5, 3, and almost 1 year old, which is crazy to think about now. Yeah, and I work at Evidence-Based Birth, which I know a lot of your listeners probably know about. And if not, they'll know soon. But it's a fantastic organization started by Rebecca Decker, and I'm really privileged to be on the team there. It's just my full-time day job. And then also, I've been a certified, donor-certified birth doula for the last 3 years. I actually just resubmitted my recertification package today. So I'm excited about that. And I do run a doula practice kind of on the side. I do a couple clients a year and teach classes, which is just really great. I love the work. I love being able
Yeah.
to do it. Yeah, working with families, just something I was just telling my husband last night, like, there's just something about being in those labor rooms I just love. Like, it makes me come alive, and everyone's kind of excited, of course, when the baby is born. Like, that's what we're all there for. But I'm always kind of sad, like, oh, the labor part's done, because I just love it. I just love kind of walking on those journeys so much. I don't know. There's just something crazy about it. I just love watching birth unfold.
You are such a doula for sure.
I know
Yes.
it's so, yeah. Like, I mean, of course, there's some births and labors you're like, okay, this is long, but or difficult or whatever. But it's a journey. I love those journeys and being able to help people along it.
Yeah, no, fantastic. So, congratulations on the new job. And yes, listeners, if they've got to know about evidence-based birth, because I'm always sharing it, and just doing links on the show notes. And but yes, it is the go-to resource for any time I want to give something to clients, right? To
Yeah, same.
to evidence-based information, so they can make their choices, the choices right for them. Yeah.
That's right. And you're going to be a keynote speaker at our conference in September 2019, which I'm very excited about. I cannot wait to hear your talk and to meet you in person. That's going to be so great.
Yay, I am so beyond excited about that, that we'll get to see each other in September. So,
Yeah.
but back to the thing at hand. Tell me about your last, not 10 months.
Yeah, well, they've been crazy. So, like I said, this pregnancy was a surprise one. And I went through a lot of, like, the pregnancy was kind of long in general. A lot of people say they go quicker. But this pregnancy with Harper was just longer. I realized I had a lot of, like, mental health issues I needed to address. So I, like, was in therapy for anxiety and just kind of postpartum stuff and working through, like, my last postpartum times that I didn't really work through. And so that was very healing. Like, by the time she was born, I felt like I was in a much better place. I took time off from being a doula just to take care of my physical health. I found out I had some food allergies, and like eliminating those foods really helped me start feeling better. So it was just a long, does that make sense? Like, the pregnancy was long and I was very excited to kind of finally meet Harper when she was born. But then when she was born, it was kind of like a whole nother phase of long that I wasn't expecting, but it ended up being, of course, like what our family needed. And she's here and she's just perfect for our family. But yeah, just kind of a long journey and then this birth and then another long journey. So yeah, I'm happy to talk about that today.
Yeah, so you did a lot of healing and a lot of preparation during pregnancy. Like, what are some highlights of that you said that you got to a much better place towards the end of the pregnancy? So, yeah,
Yes.
what's that about?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I had started cleaning up my eating was number one. I was never like an awful eater, but finding out I have a really strong dairy and gluten sensitivity. So I cut those out a couple months before I got pregnant with her, actually. So having those like eliminated and then starting to feel better, which could have been one of the reasons I got pregnant. Who knows? Just like I started feeling better, whatever, just having more physical energy. So that was one thing. Just taking more care of what I put into my body was very healing, and learning about that, what I can and can't eat. And then I mentioned therapy, but that was like seriously one of the best things I've ever done was go to therapy. You know, I went pretty often at first, and then we kind of petered out to like once a month, once every 2 or 3 months, you know. And then I finally kind of concluded that course a couple months ago, back in January, I think. But yeah, that was another kind of big keystone, just being able to take care of myself. And in the pregnancy, Harper's pregnancy really kind of pushed me to do that. Like I was kind of, it was sort of something that's easy to kick to the curb. You know what I mean? Like, I don't quite feel right. I don't quite feel like myself, but I just got to keep going, got to keep moving. Like I have kids, I've got jobs, you know, we got to keep everything running. But being pregnant and knowing like you're adding another baby, and in our case, it was a baby we didn't quite expect to be adding. We thought we were done at two. But just that kind of forced us like, okay, we really have to, you know, get it together because we're going to have another person in our family. We want to be the best family we can be. Seriously, take physical and like mental health, just taking care, just, you know, slowing down, all those things, say no to a lot of stuff, even though it was hard. Like my doula practice, I said no for like a year, good solid year, just over a year to that. That was so difficult, but it was really good and really needed just to have fewer things on my plate. And I could focus on making our home, myself and our home, kind of healthy and stable again. It was wonderful.
Well, setting boundaries is huge. And it seemed like you were doing a lot of that, and how important that's a key part of self-care, right? Mm-hmm. But also, I find that we don't talk a lot about this and don't shine a light on the fact of how much of a toll being pregnant, like a whole pregnancy and postpartum, has on your body. And having had two previous ones and suddenly a new one when you didn't expect it, like it makes sense to me that you went, whoa, already my body's depleted. I've been trying to get it back to feeling better and I'm on that way, but I really need to focus on this right now because some more depletion is on its way.
Right. No, that's exactly it. And even just realizing, and you can't diagnose kind of conditions in the past, but even realizing like, oh, I did struggle with postpartum depression, particularly with my first, you know, and then kind of just my body kind of collapsed after I had my second daughter. But definitely looking back on that, my first postpartum experience now in light of this one, even though this one we're going to talk about was difficult just because our daughter had some unique challenges, it was good because I knew I was in a healthy spot, like mentally and physically. And even though it was very challenging, it was really good to know all of that work had paid off. And like, I was able to handle what was coming to us, if that makes sense, because of all the work I had done, and then able to compare like, oh yeah, I definitely feel different after this baby. And whereas before, I think I did kind of have some of that, you know, just fog, that like postpartum, like I'm not myself, but I don't even know what is myself anymore, you know?
And that's one of the biggest things, like the hardest things to figure out. Like, is this just normal postpartum stuff, or is this out of those norms? Yeah.
In retrospect, it was out of norm. I don't clinically know what that would have been for me, you know, in 2014 and then in 2015, but with the first two. But I definitely know, like, oh, that was not normal. And now I know what normal is, which is really good. And then, of course, we had a tougher baby. Like, we all felt really great, but we had a tough baby. But it was so wonderful to not have, like, everything kind of falling apart. You know, we felt strong and able to, like, be a good system for our daughter.
So. Cool. Yeah. So I want to hear a little bit about the birth story, like a quick summary of that, because I want to focus more on the postpartum. But before we do that, I'm not interrupting you, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Breastfeeding, it may be natural, but that sure does not mean it's easy. It's a learning process for both you and baby, and like most learning processes, it takes a lot of trial and error. However, this trial and error can sometimes come with a lot of crying, and not necessarily only from your baby. Help lessen the crying and frustration by arming yourself with some solid knowledge. A great way to prepare for this is by taking the Simply Breastfeeding online class created by breastfeeding experts Cindy and Jana. In their class, you'll learn to recognize what your baby is telling you and how to meet your baby's needs starting in the very first hour after birth. You'll also understand the basics of breastfeeding and be able to return to them if you encounter difficulties, and you'll feel confident knowing the answers to most frequently asked questions. Lessen your anxiety and frustration and relax knowing you've got this. Go to birthful.com/simplybreastfeeding to learn more. And as a Birthful listener, you get 15% off if you use the code Birthful when you register. Go to birthful.com/simplybreastfeeding or click the link on the show notes to get you on your way. And we are back. Okay, so Victoria, how was the birth?
It was crazy. It was typical kind of third time baby. They're wild cards. It was very fast. I kind of knew I was going into, I knew I was in early labor, and I was like, we need to get to the hospital. This is going to go really fast. And sure enough, we arrived at like 1 a.m. at the hospital, and she was born at 4 something. And it was just, it was quick. It was chaotic because I'm a doula, right? So I kind of know what's going on. And I definitely got too in my head, which I know you've had a recent guest talk about, like being in your head in birth. That definitely was the case for me. And I was kind of watching myself go through the labor, like, this can't be right. This can't be time for, you know, this and that yet. I think I was expecting to have a longer labor like I'd had the first two times. And this was just like very fast. Quit, you know, fast and just hard. And it was funny. At one point I told them, like, I really think I'm pushing. And they checked me. The nurses like checked on my request and they're like, oh, honey, you're only 5 centimeters. And I just like flipped out. Like, what do you mean? I'm only 5 centimeters. And then she was born like 45 minutes later. So it did kind of like, even that I knew, like, don't get checked. Just kind of go with your body. You'll open, you know, you'll dilate what you need to. But even that, like, I was just so focused on like, where am I? What are the stages? You know, I could not get out of my head. And that made for the birth a little difficult. But at the same time, it was like, it was beautiful and perfect. And I'm a weirdo. I love laboring. So even though this was hard, I just kind of, my body never feels so like alive as it does when I'm in the birthing process, you know, in my birthing time. And so I do still really enjoy that, even though her birth was kind of hard and crazy and chaotic and fast, really fast. Mm. You know, the doctor kind of came in. I remember his hair was like dripping wet. He had come in from the rain at like 4 a.m, like literally walked in the room, put his hands out and like caught her. Like, that's how quickly, you know, it progressed. So
yeah, on one for sure. And it always catches everybody a little bit more off guard when you do have a check. Like, that's why checks are so tough, because they can be great and they can be not so great, right? When you get a check and it's like, oh, she's 5 or she's, you know, they're 3, and then the baby in 45 minutes, right?
Right, yeah. Right. Like, yeah. I knew it was going quick. Yeah. And my husband, in retrospect, even said, he's like, I knew you shouldn't have gotten checked. He's like, I'll remind you next time to not get checked. And it was, you know, just funny. But yeah, that was kind of her birth, just really fast and hard. But what was interesting, this kind of leads into the postpartum. What was so interesting about it is she was born, Harper, my daughter, was born. And actually I'd say the doctor caught her. I caught her, which was cool. I've never done that before. Like, I kind of, you know, got to reach down. I mean, I've always like reached down and kind of grabbed them, but I was like there the whole time, which was neat. But she was born and she was just mad. You know, babies, usually they'll kind of like cry and then kind of quiet down once they're like on mom's chest. Mm-hmm. She was born and she was just like angry, and she was just crying. I couldn't really, you know, calm her down, and she would like nurse a little bit and kind of go to sleep, but then wake up crying. And I do think like her, I say I was very proud to catch her, but looking back at the pictures, I definitely grabbed her by her head and pulled her out. So I'm sure that was a part of her discomfort of like, hey lady, like don't grab my head like that next time. but just on the whole, like, it was just weird. She was very unsettled. And, you know, kind of when her sisters came in to meet her, she was just very upset. You know, she would be like sleeping and we try to pass her to the big sisters and she would just wake up and start crying. You know, people holding her, she would cry. Even like our family kind of went to go get lunch or something and left me alone so I could sleep with Harper. She wouldn't like even want to sit in the bassinet, like, you know, swaddled up, kind of like they do. We're in a hospital setting, a small rural mm-hmm. hospital. So, you know, even then I've just like newborns, usually you kind of swaddle them. And at least that first day, they're pretty, you just kind of plop them down wherever and they're pretty, you know, good to go. And even then she would just like wake up in the bassinet screaming, you know, like I couldn't go to the bathroom without setting her down. So that was very difficult. And I remember that first day with her just thinking like, something is off with you, you know, like you're a different baby. Just because little things would just set her off, you know. And even I remember that night too. I'm not normally the person to like want to send a baby to the nursery, but I even like it was kind of a weird situation. We were in a really small hospital and they were very busy that day. So I had to get discharged from their like labor and delivery birthing suite to like a general hospital room. It's very interesting. We chose this hospital because it was they provided some more like evidence-based options that we wanted. But then the downside is like it's a really small kind of hole in the wall hospital in the middle of nowhere. So they were just small and it was, you know, it was a big barometric pressure change. They were very busy. Water's broke everywhere. Yeah. They were like, we've got 10 rooms and there's like 12 people in labor right now. So they kind of were clearing out as quickly as they could. But in the general hospital, I was even asking the nurses there when I was on the floor, like, is there anyone who can like take her for a couple hours just so I can like, cause she would, I mean, she was just unhappy, you know, and I couldn't settle her. And they were kind of saying like, oh no, honey, sorry. Like we, you know, you're in like the general floor. We don't have a place to put it.
Yeah.
No nursery. Yeah. And I was just begging them, like, is someone like on a break? Can they just take her?
Here, hold my baby. It's the third. Yes. I don't care. Just hold my baby.
Yes. It was literally that. Like if there's like a janitor or something who's free. So we made it through that night and I did kind of advocate for myself to get discharged. Like she was born at 4 a.m. and like that I spent the night in the hospital, but definitely that next morning I was like, I'm not staying another night. Like I need to get home so I can have some help with her. Yeah. So it's, which is just crazy. Like looking, I mean, really there was just something about her and I kind of knew like we're going to be in for a different experience this time.
Well, and you had a couple of other ones previously to compare to. I mean, I just keep thinking if this would have been your first of not even knowing that this was like, you had the wherewithal to say something is off with you. What is up?
Yes. And I've since talked to moms who've said like their first child was their very difficult just to learn to one. And I do not know, like kudos, hats off, props, you know, to those people. Cause that would be, I mean, that would be very crazy if this was your first experience, I can imagine. And you didn't know, like just little things, seriously, like newborns usually sleep a lot. She just would not sleep peacefully. You know, she would just be very upset. And it's like, you're new, you're a newborn. You're supposed to be like kind of out of it for at least a week or so, you know, just kind of chill. So I can't imagine.
What did you, having retrospect, right, 2020, now looking back on it, what do you think was off with her?
You know, so yeah, that kind of leads into our postpartum journey. I do think, I'm sure she's very sore from the birth because I totally did like yank her out by her head and I feel really badly about that. But, you know, I didn't grab like under her shoulders. So looking back, like I'm definitely kind of holding her head and just kind of, you know, catching my baby, but it's like, wow, that had to have been uncomfortable. And I don't know, like sometimes I've wondered if because her pregnancy was so difficult, like with kind of walking through anxiety and the therapy for that, I've wondered like, was there some sort of, what's that? You know what I'm talking about? What's the word? The, where like your cells can change. What is that?
Epigenetics.
Yes. And like, maybe there's some like epigenetic effect where like maybe I was super stressed and so you were born super stressed. She did have, so part of this is she does have lip and tongue ties. So breastfeeding was difficult at first. And I know that can add to like baby's discomfort, but I don't know, like I can tell you now she's 10 months old. She is like a completely different baby. For her, getting mobile was kind of a game changer. Like as soon as she could crawl, get somewhere quickly, she instantly kind of became much happier. But it was weird. It was kind of like for Harper, there were just a lot of little things maybe contributing. And I just couldn't figure out, like I kind of, the first couple months, I almost drove myself crazy trying to figure that out. Like, what is wrong with you? You know, what is like the one thing, what's the switch I need to flip for you to make your life, you know, happier as a baby? But I just couldn't, we couldn't find it. And one thing, my husband kind of said to me a lot during this process, it was like, it doesn't have to be just one thing. Like this could just be her. And for some, like I, you know, this could just be like, this is just her personality right now. This is just who she is as a person. And I remember just being so frustrated with that answer, probably because I'm a doula, I think, and we kind of want answers and information, you know, and you, I think we kind of have this tendency to want to like point back to something like, oh, that, you know, that's the reason why this went wrong or whatever. That could, I mean, that could just be personality, but I think doulas kind of, you know, like, in, like just the information and knowing everything that's going on and how to help. And it was just killing me that I couldn't figure out the one thing I needed to know to help her. But honestly, coming just part of it was kind of coming to that place of just of really like agreeing. I think my husband was right in looking at her and just kind of saying, this is just like some people, you just have bad days for no reason. Like she was just very grumpy, you know, and dysregulated. And there wasn't one thing. It was just the way it was. And we kind of, it was better to accept that and work around it than trying to beat your head against a wall trying to fix it, which is like my tendency.
Well, and that requires a lot of, you know, patience and grace with yourself also.
Yes.
Of, you know, mm-hmm. this is not that I'm doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
And nothing that I could be doing differently, but I just have to help her through it as best as I can.
Yeah.
Which is, that's a hard mindset to get into day in and day out.
Yes. Yeah. And I could... Can I talk about like her lip and tongue tie?
Yeah. So I was going to say, you know, because it seems like maybe it wasn't the one thing, but it was a combination of circumstances along with her personality. Like it all might have created a little perfect storm. Because I do believe that babies are born with their own personalities and yes. how they come out. You're like, yeah, I can, you know, you this. There's some traits that just stick around, right? Mm-hmm. So how... What were the steps you took to try to figure that out? And I know that realizing that she had a tongue tie and a lip tie was one part of the puzzle.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good intro. I know this is all over the place because like you said, there's a lot of factors. So the first thing with my middle daughter, she also had a lip and tongue tie that we did have revised like through a laser procedure at like 2 months old. So I knew kind of what to look for and I knew like it ran in our family. Or just that there were, you know, there's that possibility could happen again. And so I kind of saw like she had a shallow latch, breastfeeding was really painful. And so I kind of knew like, okay, this is what we're dealing with. If I can just make it till until we get an appointment, you know, we just got to get her tongue and lip tie revised and we'll be totally fine. That was kind of my mentality. But the funny thing is that we were trying to get an appointment with the provider we went to for my middle daughter. They were super booked out. So we tried to go somewhere else. And, you know, at that evaluation, it was kind of like, yeah, she has one, but we need you to do these therapies first. And which I know is, I know more about it now. Like I know that it is good to go do therapies and things like, you know, prepare for the procedure. But we were just at that time, we were like, I don't feel like I can go to more appointments. Like she's a crazy baby, you know, like this is like, it just did not feel like a good option for us at the time. So we kind of were holding out hope, like, well, maybe we can just try to make it to find someone. Like if we can just find someone who will just, you know, revise her mouth, it'll be fine. But in the meantime, one thing we did do is we explored craniosacral therapy, which was very helpful for her. And I had never heard of it before. Or I mean, I've heard of it before, but I've never like seen it, never had it done to me or had seen it done. And we did have like a wonderful craniosacral therapist in my town. And she was great. She like came to our house and she really worked on Harper's like mouth and jaw to kind of loosen up those ties or just work on them. And I will say I did see some improvement kind of with that.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you did craniosacral because I find that regardless of what's going on with your baby, with your person, with anybody, like that type of body work is something that is it's beneficial for anybody to different degrees, but it's not going to create any harm. It can only like improve. It's like getting a massage. You're not going to go like,
yes.
Oh, I got the massage and that, you know, it's better than getting a massage, but I got that massage and it messed me up. Like that rarely ever happens. Usually it's just an enjoyable, beneficial experience. And I think it's what you were talking about doing different therapies to help with the revision is because there is the physical aspect of it and there's the function aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And the physical is the tie itself. Like this piece of skin is tight.
Right.
These things are tight. But just opening that up, it's not gonna, then now she has to figure out how to, she was getting used to trying to figure out how to work the breastfeeding or work on movement with that tie. And now that it's gone, it's like, ooh, I got to relearn all these things.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. No, you're absolutely right. And it was funny because this was definitely an example where, like, I know what the best thing to do was, but we were, at least for our family, we were like, I don't think we can pursue the best care at this time. Or maybe I think what I'm trying to say is, like, all of the steps for it. Like, we know it is best, but, and part of our difficulty was that we live in a really small town. And so we would have to have driven like an hour away to go to these therapies, like every, you know, twice a week or whatever, before and after a revision. And it was just kind of like, I don't feel like we can do that. Like, maybe let's try to pursue other ways, you know, maybe let's see what, like, it was more like, let's see what we can do about your ties, not going through a revision, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Like, and it's so much easier to say, you know, from my desk, tell you, oh, well, go do this therapy, it's a good thing, that when you're in it postpartum and it's like not only driving an hour, but driving an hour with a miserable child both ways. And yeah, I mean, that's, I can totally understand the need to rationalize what is within the realm of doable and what isn't. Now, let's take another quick break. But when we come back, keep talking about this and what you did. We'll be right back. Great news, mighty ones. Birthful listeners can get a whole month free trial at expectful.com, which is 2 more weeks of free meditation than their usual 2-week trial. If you've been meaning to try meditation, this is the perfect time to jump on this offer. Meditating is a great way to reset your nervous system and mindfully bring yourself back to calm. And this is really important because if your nervous system spends more time in high alert and doesn't get to go back to baseline often, then your body is in constant state of stress, which is not healthy. Meditating is a super easy way to make sure you break up those stress signals. The best part is that you don't have to sit for long hours to see the benefits. If you have 5 minutes, then you have time to meditate. And it becomes even easier when you use a meditation app like Expectful. I have tried other meditation apps, and I really like how the Expectful one is designed to address your pregnant or new parent needs by focusing on whatever you need at that moment. Whether it's better sleep, connection with baby and partner, embracing your identity, lessening stress, dealing with uncertainty, Expectful makes it super easy for you. And I gotta say, I really enjoy the voice of the person who reads the meditations. Go to expectful.com/birthful to sign up for a free 4-week trial and check it out for yourself. Yep, that's a free full month to try it out. And don't forget to add the /birthful so you can get that free full month. So that's expectful.com/birthful. And we are back talking to Victoria Wilson about her postpartum experience. So you couldn't get the revision just yet because you were trying to figure out somebody to go into to have that done. And at the same time, you did. So you then went to cranial sacral in the meantime?
Yes. That's a good summary because this is all very blurry now. But that's a good summary. And the cranial sacral did help. And then I did get us to the point of breastfeeding was not painful, which I do credit to the CST because it was, thankfully I had breastfed before. So I kind of knew like what was painful. Like I knew what worked and what didn't. But I knew how it was supposed to feel, I guess is what I mean. Like I knew what was normal and what wasn't.
How old was she at that point?
We're talking, this is maybe like 1 month, 2 months.
Okay. So that's a long time to be breastfeeding with pain.
Yes,
right?
It is.
Yeah.
Yes. Do not do this, people. Like it was more so like I just kind of knew like if I can, I really was so fixated on like if I can just get her revised. And again, my thinking at that time was like, I don't want to do extra steps. I just want to get just someone open up her mouth and we'll figure it out, you know. But that wasn't happening. And again, like the knowing we needed to go to additional like therapies to make that whole experience optimal, it just kind of led us to think like, what else, what can we do in the meantime to kind of make this more manageable while we're kind of figuring out what's possible for our family, like to pursue, if that makes sense. And no, too, I felt like a bad mom in some way, because I was in my mind, it was like, I'm not giving my kid the best, but in retrospect, it really was like, this is the best we can do at this time. You know, like this is the best we can do for you. And the CST was amazing. And she came to her house and she kind of worked on my daughter, and it did lessen up the pain. We also did see an IBCLC. I do want to mention that it's important, like within her, I think a month one, maybe she was a month old or something, to kind of confirm like, okay, she has ties. What do you think needs to be done? And that was helpful too. She also gave me some tips for like getting more milk to Harper, if the kind of working through that pain. But then very shortly after we did our visit with her, it kind of finally was like subsiding. And I think that something worked out with the body work, and it did like loosen, it resolved it at least for the moment. Mm-hmm. I think it did too, kind of help. The body work did help her overall mood some, but when we started like spacing out the visits, it was kind of like, I mean, she really could have done body work like every single day. You know, she really needed that. When we started spacing out those visits, her kind of temperament would return, if that makes sense. And she still became very just dysregulated. That was the word that IBCLC gave to her in her evaluation. It was kind of helpful for me just to have a word for what was going on with Harper: dysregulation. And it's little things like car rides. Like she would just, you know, scream in any car ride, even if it was like, you know, 5 minutes down the road, she would just scream the whole time. We had to go to some appointments that were an hour away just the whole time. You know, I would kind of stop and feed her just to get her out of the seat, see if that helps. But like, it was never like she'll cry a little and then just fall asleep exhausted. She just screamed for like an hour straight, you know, until we got where we're going. So we just started not traveling anywhere with her. You know, that was also part of why like pursuing a revision just ended up being more daunting, I guess, because we were like, I don't think I can do this. You know, I don't think I can drive a crying baby like an hour, you know, 2 days a week or a day a week.
Yeah, no, that's,
we get this, you know what I mean? But again,
it's too much.
It did feel like too much, but it was hard for me too, because I think I'm pretty knowledgeable just about what can happen. I felt frustrated that I wasn't giving her like the best care I knew was out there. But at the same time, it was a really good lesson. And like, sometimes what's best is what's best for your family, you know. And even as a doula, like, I mean, everyone, you know, I've been with clients who like make different decisions in their birth than I would make, but this whole experience really helped me have some more empathy, I think, for people who make different decisions, just for that reason of like, you know what, this may not be like the best level or the best type of care or whatever, but like, if it's best for your family to do something different, at the end of the day, like, you got to live with your family, you know, and you have to live with yourself and the kids that you have, and yeah, what's best, it's not always objective.
Yeah. Well, and there's many moving parts. It's a dynamic right. between many people, not just this right. little kid and what we can do for her.
Right.
Yeah. No,
right.
I get right. that.
Yeah.
Can you explain a little bit more of what, I love the word dysregulated because I think it does paint a picture. Can you explain a little bit more of what that felt meant for you and what that, how that showed up for her?
Yeah, well, the car, crying in the car was a big part of it. Just, there were times like she would just be unhappy. You know, I know you've talked about the five S's. We love them here too in our home. Just little things like she might finish a nursing session and still just kind of be fussy and crying. So I would start, you know, walk or shushing and swaying. And, you know, I had a baby wrap that I love, and I would put her in that. And even still, she would just kind of be crying. And it was just, I felt really helpless because it was kind of like, I'm doing everything I know to do for you, and you're still, you know, like unhappy about everything. She wasn't a really cuddly baby. It kind of showed up like people want to visit with your baby and hold her and all this stuff. And I'm talking at this point, I'm still kind of talking about like maybe 2 months. This is maybe getting into like the 2 month, 3 month mark. Even then, when they're not quite like newborns anymore, she just wouldn't want to be held by anyone. You could tell she didn't like being out of our house. Like when we would have to take her places, like to the store or whatever, she would just kind of be like keyed up and on edge, you know, not really liking it if anyone was in her space, or even like we live really close to my husband's family, even that, which is kind of hard. Like she didn't like, she would just cry if like grandparents held her, you know, anyone else other than like mom, if I was there, or if it was just Ben, my husband, just him. Or kind of, you know, I see like, especially that she's a younger sibling, you see all these videos like people share of their big kids interacting with their babies, and the babies just kind of like so happy, you know, and snuggly. And she would just like freak out if her older sisters would like touch her or want to hold her. And that was hard, you know, it was really hard to kind of be like, I don't know why Harper, you know, yes, you can hold Harper. Oh, she starts crying like 15 seconds into you holding her. You know, I'm really sorry, guys. Like maybe, but what we did do is a lot of, I would like lay in the bed and be nursing Harper, and I would try to invite the girls like, why don't you come up and, you know, like rub the back of her head while she's nursing, or, you know, rub her back, or try to, why don't you play with her when mom's holding her, that kind of thing. But it was hard to explain because like all they want to do is just play with their sister, you know, which now they do all the time, which is so fun for me. But I kind of hate that they lost that little new squishy baby stage, if that makes sense. Are those kind of good examples? Like,
well, yes, absolutely. Okay. And I love that it's not specific only to breastfeeding, even though it was the IBC, because I find that it is IBCLCs that use that a lot, and they do are more referring to suck, swallow, breathe function of regulating and regulating temperature and regulating like all the things, right? But more in terms of that being able to regulate, to have a coordinated movement to suck, swallow, feed. And I'll put a link to an episode with Allison Hazelbaker on the suck, swallow, feed, but she talks a lot about the cranial sacral and what it is and why it's helpful. So I'll link it in the show notes. But I think it's super important that to understand that dysregulation or that overwhelm, you know, that overstimulation doesn't have to be only related to breastfeeding.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it would show up in that. Like sometimes it could be hard to calm her down. If I knew she's hungry, hard to calm her down and get her to start eating. Or if she could be just in the middle of eating and kind of start freaking out, you know, just crying about something, it would be hard. Sometimes I would have to like, and this is, I know this was tongue tie related, like start her feeding on one side, then maybe try to switch her to my other side that was fuller, that I needed her to be nursing on, you know. A lot of sideline nursing for sure, because that was just the thing that it was nice. Like I could rest and she could rest. That seemed to be our best. So yeah, it did show up in nursing, but it really was helpful. And I've saved that IBCLC's email. She kind of sent back our case notes, and there was just something really helpful about like a professional saying, oh yeah, I see you with your baby, you know, your baby's not like other babies in this area. It was just helpful. And it did, I still like, I would say until maybe Harper was like 6 months old or so, I still was just like determined there has to be something, like there has to be that switch I can flip. But even now, knowing there really wasn't one thing, like just having like that affirmation of someone else who doesn't know us looking into our family, you know, and looking to my relationship with her and saying like, oh yeah, there's something going on. That was just really helpful.
Yeah. You know? Validating. Yes.
Validating. Yeah. Yes, exactly. And even though even though there wasn't an answer, like even still, if the end of that tongue tie story is we did not end up actually ever revising it. We've just decided like, you know what, it's not causing us issues at this moment. I know I can always do it later if we need to, you know, I'm aware she has them. So if it starts presenting, we'll kind of immediately go to resolve it, which is good. But even that, like looking back, even if we had resolved, if we had decided to revise them in the moment, I don't even know if that wouldn't have fixed anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, who knows? That could have, because it was so multifaceted, or it has been so multifaceted with her.
So at that time, and we're talking like now we're still at 6 months or already at 6 months.
Yeah.
It's been a long time and you're still seeing this. Like what were you doing and your husband? What was the family doing to try to be able to function and find that new rhythm once you realized or were kind of forced to deal with this baby that you got?
Yeah, I think we did. That's a good question. I know a lot of it was just kind of like changing your expectations. So a lot of it, like we try to be a pretty like TV screen free house. And, but it was good to kind of acknowledge like, you know what, sometimes in the season, cause at this time I was still home. I was a primary person home with my kids. And then my husband was working, he still worked from home, but like my job would kind of be to like keep up with the kids and then let him do his work. But it was very nice that he still because he was home, he was always really great to just like jump in if he needed help, you know, or if like Harper really was having a difficult time, one of the big kids needed something, I could say like, hey, could you do this? And we talked about like when it was appropriate to do that, when it wasn't, you know, little things. He's like, okay, if you can just give me like a 10 minute warning of like, can you help me, you know, in 10 minutes, like go put them in the bath or something. So that was, I kind of felt having him there felt like a lifeline. But also the lowering expectations part is like, we ended up using a lot of TV, you know, like Ben was home, but sometimes it was just like, I need to go lay down and nurse Harper for an hour. So the big kids just got to watch like a free for all TV show time, you know, which, I mean, it sounds silly, but just little things like that, just saying like, you know what, this is just what we have to do in this season. And it will be okay. Like, you know, let them watch TV. And then maybe at a time when Harper was like asleep or Ben could take her for something, I would try to go like be intentional with them, have some one-on-one time. But I did kind of feel for a while, it felt like all mom does is just try to calm Harper down while we, you know, fend for ourselves. But like, it felt like that was never going to end. But now looking back on it, of course it did end, you know, it's not like that anymore. But for a while it was okay. You know, we have a really wonderful church community. And so people were just like volunteer to come to our house. Like, hey, you know, I have a flexible schedule today. Can I just come hang out, take your big kids out somewhere, like go help them while you take care of Harper. And that was like, so wonderful. That was invaluable.
Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. That was really great.
And you were still doing therapy during this stage.
Yes.
And it seems like you were getting, were very mindful of setting good lines of communication between you and Ben, like as a family, come together as a team, rather than, because situations like this can really tear people apart.
Yes. Yes. No, it was. And we're pretty good about catching like, oh, okay, today we're off today. What's going on? And like troubleshooting it and then kind of going forward. And a lot of it would be, you know, just getting time as soon. I don't know, maybe when the babies are kind of like 3 or 4 months old, I start feeling like I can leave for like an hour or two, then come back to nurse, you know, I wouldn't be gone long. Little breaks like that were so helpful. And he's actually, it's funny, cause he's like my regulator. He'll kind of tell me like, hey, you look like you could probably go use like some mom time to yourself. You know, this, why don't you go for like an hour or two and then come back? And that was also very helpful. I know, I'm telling you, Adriana, he's seriously, I totally lucked out. He is the best guy, and the same for him, you know, I'll try to see like, hey, you've been really hands-on with the kids a lot, or, you know, you've been pulling a lot of the weight. Why don't you go do something? Like, we try to do that. He's much better about spotting it than I am. I'm working on it, but, you know, to kind of help him just offer those times up. But that was also very invaluable.
Well, and I also find that as primary caregivers, you know, usually moms are the primary caregivers, but whoever's the primary caregiver, there's it's harder to say, I'm going to take this time off and take care for myself. Like, yes. You really need somebody else to give you that permission, because if not, there can be like some feelings of guilt and it's just messy.
Yes. Yeah. It's very messy. And that's part of it too. Just kind of embracing like, this is just going to be messy. It's not, you know, this isn't ideal, but of course being able to have the perspective of like, okay, this isn't ideal, but it's not going to be forever. And you're not failing. Just sometimes like just going through isn't failing. And looking back too, there really was like an abundance of provision for us, like in the people coming over and Ben having that job, he could work from home and, you know, take like, you know, on his breaks or whatever, his 15 minute break, you can go help out, get dinner started, whatever, things like that. That was just such a lifeline, you know. It was also really helpful that she was born in May. This was the first baby I've had, like a summer spring baby. And just having the sun was like really nice. Just being able to kind of let the big kids play outside and just kind of sitting in the sun, you know, on the porch with her, like, even if you can't, like I said, with the car, we really just stayed, she and I at least really stayed close to home, but even just being able to be outside was really helpful. My other babies were like winter babies, so I never really knew what it's like to be outside with a newborn, as silly as that sounds. Like, that's kind of nice, just taking your baby out in the yard, you know.
So yeah, no, that totally, like, I could totally,
like, vitamin D.
Yes. It's like, oh, it's warm, right? Like, yeah, right now we're still in stupid winter and I'm so done with this. what were the signs that started, like, you're starting to feel that things are falling into place? Either she was more regulating, or you guys have found your rhythm, or you were more accepting. I don't even know how to describe the moment, but now you say you're really in a good place and that she's much better. So what are the, and it might not be the one thing, right? But a combination of things that got you here.
Yeah, I do. Like, I think I mentioned maybe before, but definitely her just gaining the just developmental milestones was helpful. Like when she could sit up by herself, that was, it's kind of like we unlocked a little something, like, okay, she's crying a little less, or she's just, it wasn't always crying. It was just grumpiness, you know, like maybe it was colicky, but she wasn't like screaming at the top of her lungs for hours. It was just fussy, grumpy, kind of always grumpy, you know? But sitting up by herself, it was kind of like, oh, she's not grumping as much, you know, and then being able to crawl around, that was a huge one, because then she could just kind of go explore, or like if I walked out of a room, she could come find me quicker, you know, or kind of entertain herself. Like the more ability she's had to like play independently, I would say, and move independently. And then also she's been more receptive. Like she loves her big sisters now. Like she loves interacting with them. They love interacting with her. So maybe kind of gaining that like spatial awareness, or like person awareness of, you know, people around her, like, hey, we're here to help you and have fun. Like something like that, or something like that maybe has gone off inside of her that's made it a lot easier. I don't know. Baby wearing was always our lifesaver. Like I definitely love baby wearing. But I would just say continuing to keep up that even as she's gotten older has kind of helped, like having, you know, we have an ergo. So, if we need to like be out in a store, you know, it's helpful just to wear her instead of trying to like keep her sitting in a seat or something like that. In a way it's almost like building trust with her. Like she knows like, hey, like I've got you, I'm trying to take care of you, you know, like you're going to be okay. We're always with you. But like having those continued ways to like keep up connection with Harper, it's almost like it really has almost given her more confidence. Does that make sense?
It does. And it all comes because we're holistic, right? So everything builds on each other. And the fact that she's moving around more, has reached the developmental milestones, also means that one, she's more independent and can get around the world, but also in order to like crawl, there's so many steps that need to be sparked within the vagus nerve and different nerves that have to do well so with breastfeeding and like that are connected to each other. So if you look at the tummy time method, it's about how a baby uncurls and unfurls from that's close tight C in the womb to a place where they're doing like, you know, the baby cobra they're lying for tummy time, to then getting themselves up to crawling and then finally up to standing, like all that physical movement and all what the things that are required for that have to do with regulation, as well as all the emotional part of her being able to interact more with the world and having that gratification of, I do this, I'm not so helpless. I don't know. Like as you were talking, I was like, yeah, all these things connect to each other.
Yeah, no, it's definitely like a case study that is like reality, you know, like that is definitely true. It's science. Like it certainly happens, and you could really see it in our case. And too, like I got the job I have now with evidence-based birth in the kind of the fall. So maybe it was even just that too, like our family transitioning, like, okay, mom's going to take this job. And actually my husband has now come home as like more the primary parent. He still has like a job. He works like freelancing, but he, that transition, maybe like our whole, the kind of mood in our family shifted in a good way, but just like, okay, we're all coming into a new season together. And maybe that was helpful for me too, just to kind of be more accepting to see that seasons are always changing and it's okay. Like that we're going to, you know, something new is ahead and we'll figure out how all of our kids fit into this new model of life, you know, it was helpful maybe just to kind of see like, oh, it's not just Harper. Like, it's all of our kids and we have a plan for all of our kids and, you know, taking care of them, if that makes sense. I would definitely say like around the holidays, it got easy. And we even took like a little family Christmas vacation in December. And that was for sure the moment. It was like a spontaneous trip. And I said to Ben, I was like, let's just go do this really quickly. You know, like on that day, like, I just want to go run down. It was to go see my family who live like 6 hours away. It's like, we got some free days. Like, let's just go do it. We hadn't planned on it, you know? And he says, he's like, that was a moment. Like, I felt like you came back totally. Like, that was kind of a really good, like, confirmation that all the therapy had kind of done its work. And for me too, like I remember I made that suggestion. I wasn't worried about Harper like crying in the car. I was, you know, just kind of looking forward to going to do this fun thing. And she did great. Like she did super great on the trip. You know, we all, of course, there was little kid meltdown moments, but like it was fine. It was okay. So that little Christmas trip probably was like nice, like I don't want to say crowning achievement, but maybe like culmination of like, okay, we've done it. We've gotten through it. This is what it's, you know, we can do this. Things are getting better. Like our, you know, and it was a really sweet, yeah, holiday. She even got, poor kid, Harper got flu and RSV at the same time, which we have, yeah, my oldest is in preschool. So like, this is the first year we've had school germs in our family and like all the like elderberry in the world just did not keep all the sickness away. But even through that, like she was, you know, we kind of managed it. She wasn't as awful or handled it better. Wasn't as tough as I thought it could have been. You know, even after that, we're like, let's just go on this family vacation. Like you feel better, you know, let's do it. And that was probably the moment, which is a really, it did make for a really sweet holiday season for us.
Yay. It was like closure victory. And
closure
victory.
Is a better word. Yes. Cause it, yeah, definitely we've not like achieved anything cause it's definitely still a process, but closure is a good word. It was a nice, like, okay. Like,
yeah. Moving next chapter. Yeah.
Maybe and not.
Yes. And I think it's valid to like have that perspective of, not only valid, like it's good to have that perspective of we're all a family and sometimes one of us is going to require more help than the others and then it'll switch and we'll just keep passing that along and it's constantly evolving as a team, which is like even figuring that out is a hard place to get to from, especially if you've never had kids and you're just, then you're just pregnant.
Right.
That identity shift that keeps changing. That's, I think, the hardest part.
No, I would completely agree. And like you said, I cannot imagine if this experience were like a first child, that would be, I mean, it would probably hit you in a whole different way. But she came at just the right time. And those were definitely lessons our family needed to go deeper in. You know, we kind of had those first identity shift with our first two kids and learning what it means to be parents. And this definitely was kind of like, you know, parenting 102, I guess 103, since it's our third, parenting 103 for us. And it was good. Like, yeah. Looking forward to seeing how this knowledge like helps us in the future, I think.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it's brought you closer together, if not, and given you more appreciation of and more empathy with the rest of the world and to your work that you do. So that's always beneficial.
Yes, certainly.
Now you mentioned the therapy and you mentioned the having that, like, especially from Ben prompting you to take some time for yourself. Was there anything else that you did to try to, going back to touching to base with what you were doing during pregnancy of, you know, focusing on better nutrition and getting you in a place where you weren't as depleted, anything else that you did that we're missing to help, you know, bring that back up?
Yeah. You know, one thing I didn't mention this, but like just kind of practicing the mindfulness and like progressive relaxation was one thing I found very helpful. And just being able to identify, like having the skills to identify like, oh, I'm have like some anxiety rising up in me right now, or, you know, okay, I'm getting a little angry in this situation, just having the tool to be able to acknowledge it. And then just that really practical skill set, you know, of going through like, okay, let me relax my head, let me relax my shoulders, going through my body like that and just checking in the moment. That was another very helpful tool. So I don't know if you want to call that like mindfulness or progressive relaxation. Well, I definitely was praying during those moments, just kind of, but the ability, you know, yeah. So the ability to just do that in the moment. Whereas I think before it's easier just kind of run along with however you're feeling, but the skill to like, wait, stop, check in, what's going on, and then move forward was very helpful.
Yes. And that body awareness.
Yes.
I'll link Parijatha Shpanda's episode on that as well. It's the pregnancy brain thing. But she's one of the practitioners that works more closely to that. We have that in common of our bodies are super wise in that they're constantly telling us stuff. We don't often pay attention, but they're constantly telling us. So if we start to pay attention a little bit more, like, oh, yeah, my stomach's been really hurting. What am I anxious about? Or, you know, to just identify what those things mean in your body. And then it's a tool to like, whoa, wait. Yes, I can hear my body saying, take deeper breaths. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like self-regulating, right? It goes back to regulating yourself.
Regulation is so important is what I've learned. yes, exactly.
Oh, so good. Victoria, before we close off, is there anything you want to leave you want to make sure the listeners know about your story before we end?
Just I hope it's helpful. I hope it doesn't unnecessarily scare anyone, but to the mom who's maybe going through, mom or dad, whoever is going through something like this, just a surprising baby, a baby that you didn't really expect, like that baby is in your family for a reason and he or she is teaching you something that's very important for you to know. And it's definitely going to contribute to the fabric of your family. And even though there can be hard days and can drive you to like tears and frustration some days, that it's just the baby that you needed, you know, and it's, yeah, it can be hard sometimes to relate to babies that you don't quite know what's going on, but they're with you for a reason and you're the perfect parents for them.
Yeah. And you have no choice either. You just,
and you have it right. Like just like in birth, right? Kind of like the resisting does not get you anywhere quickly. It's the surrendering that you really have to like press into, even when it's uncomfortable. But the surrendering is what kind of takes you places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
It does. And screen time is okay sometimes. And, you know, get some disposable paper plates if you need to for like a couple weeks and just make it through. Like, it'll be okay.
There you go. Totally. Yeah. If the listeners want to connect with you, Victoria, how can they do that?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I am, like I said, I'm a doula. So my doula page, probably motherwelldoula.com. And on Instagram, it's also motherwelldoula, @motherwelldoula. And I'd love to talk with anyone or questions or give you a high five if this is your story too. Like, definitely love to hear and help if I can.
Yeah. And you're super open and accessible. So I know that you wouldn't mind if people reached out to you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. And that was the thing. It's the lifeline too. People who were telling me like, oh, yeah, that was my baby. You're going to get through this. Like, that's so helpful.
Very good. Well, thank you so very much for coming on the show today to share this story.
Thank you for having me. Love what you do and love you. You're awesome.
Mighty ones, find the in-depth show notes for this episode at birthful.com, where you can also learn more about me, the show, Patreon member benefits, send me messages, and more. And if you want to hear more about figuring out a baby's personality and how the ability to move can satisfy opposing needs for different babies, then you should join us over at the Birthful Patreon, where you'll get the extra audio content for this episode and all other episodes by becoming an official Birthful supporter. Find out more at patreon.com/birthful. And if what you want to do is get ready for life with a newborn, then go to birthfulcourses.com and sign up for my Thrive with Your Newborn online postpartum preparation classes. This episode was produced by me and made possible by you, those amazing Birthful Patreon supporters, and the wonderful people at Simply Breastfeeding and Expectful. Go to birthful.com/simplybreastfeeding and use the code BIRTHFUL for 15% off their breastfeeding course, and go to expectful.com/birthful to get a free 1 month trial. The title song for this podcast is Vive Ace by Kevin McLeod, and the sponsorship song is Air Hockey Saloon by Chris Zabriskie. Find them both at freemusicarchive.org. Also, the Birthful Podcast is part of the Parents on Demand Network, a network of podcasts focused on parents. Download the free Parents on Demand app on Apple and Android for easy on-the-go listening. I'm Adriana Lozada. Please join me next week when I'll be talking to another maternity pro to inform your intuition here at the Birthful Podcast. Thanks so very much for listening. This episode is copyright 2019 by Adriana Lozada.